Blog Talk Radio.
First night, all I think about is you. Don't stop, baby, you can walk too. Don't want, but I think about you. You know that I'm never gonna
homie. What up?
How you doing today, my friend?
I'm tired, but other than that, I'm fine. How about yourself?
Yeah, up all night knuckling that balloon nut?
Not exactly.
No? Okay, that's what I was doing all night.
Oh, well. What else is new?
So I got a couple of things I want to talk about, but you brought up something. Are you willing to discuss that? Do you want to talk about that before I do anything else?
Yeah, but I mean, we can wait. Your stuff is actually like more.
No. I'm just gonna wind up rehashing some shit that we've gone over already. Why don't you lead out? What do you got?
Well, so. Well, let me ask you first, because I know we didn't get too much into this. Are you
Am I a what?
Are you a Kevin Smith fan? Like, have you watched his movies?
I don't know if I'd call myself a fan, but
okay.
I do like some of his movies. I think some of his movies are good, but I think he really suffers from, like, even the original Clerks to me was a great movie, but it's also kind of pretentious because it's people going on soliloquies with each other and kind of ranting about shit. And, you know, that's, unless you're actually taking footage of people behind the counter at a, at a store like that, you know, and granted, I got to tell you, most of the people I've encountered at places like the fucking, the deli place that they're married to, whatever it's called. Like, I've been to places with much dumber people than those guys behind the counter, you know, like that's, they have some wits about them, but it just, Kevin Smith's whole thing is dialogue. He's known for some really good dialogue, but he's also known for some cheesy ass fucking dialogue. And it's because he was raised on old comics and shit. And, you know, people, and he, you know, he's a little Shakespearean in his movies because people have to have, you know, their soliloquies where they're like ranting at the screen or at a friend or whatever. Some of that is good. I don't think a lot of it is. There's a lot. He's made quite a few movies that I'm just like, dude, this is garbage. Like, I don't know why you did this.
Right. Okay. So you and I are pretty much in agreement on that because there are movies.
So we're both like
that,
mid on Kevin Smith.
Right. But like for me, like I'm a child, and so I like the stupidity of some of his movies. Like I love Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which is
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is my favorite Kevin Smith movie.
Right. Okay. Yeah, which is ridiculously stupid. But I just think
I love how dumb it is.
Right. Exactly. And I would kind of put, I don't know if I would say Clerks 2 in that category, but like, so let me just backtrack.
Clerks
2
or Clerks 3?
Well, Clerks 2.
Okay.
I'm going to get to Clerks 3.
Okay.
So last night, we were bored, and we just—I don't even remember how it came up.
Before you go into that,
Before
you go into that, have you seen Jay and Silent Bob Reboot?
Okay, that's a good question. I have, and I don't remember anything about it
because it was shit, and it's unrememberable. It's unrememberable.
So it's not just me. Okay.
No, it's a dog shit mid-ass movie. It's like, it's not, it doesn't even suck bad enough for me to sit here and tell you how dog shit it is, honestly. It's just like a completely forgettable, stupid. They called it Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, and then there was like an argument within the movie about what's a reboot and what's a remake, like the difference.
Right.
And they literally were just rehashing everything from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It should have been called Jay and Silent Bob Rehash.
Right. Yeah, I don't remember. Like, we were having that conversation last night, too, because I was, like, I remembered that, like, Kevin Smith's daughter is, like, one of the main characters and plays, like, Jay's daughter in the movie or something like that. But, like, I don't remember anything plot-related about the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, which almost made me want to, like, watch it again to see if it was just me, but I'm glad you kind of like confirmed that.
I think you came away as best you could from that, which means you don't remember it. Like, I think that's the best case scenario for having seen that movie, and I think that you should just leave it at that.
That's fair. Okay. Noted. I will take that advice.
If you want to see just how just like lazy Kevin Smith can be, watch that movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, see.
All right, go.
So this is interesting. So I liked Clerks 2, but it was very, like, stupid. And so
I don't think it was stupid enough.
Well, I mean, there was, like, the donkey show part and, like, a bunch of just stuff that was just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we decided to watch Clerks 3 last night. And I even said when we were going to watch Clerks 3, I'm like, well, should we – because I haven't watched Clerks 2 in God knows how long.
Right.
And so I even said, like, should we watch Clerks 2 before Clerks 3? And we decided no because, you know, we know basically – what's going on, you know, it's not exactly, you know, hard to follow plot lines of
right.
these movies. So now I'm going to ask you, cause I'm obviously going to spoil some things. Do you have any interest in watching Clerks 3?
I don't care if you spoil it. Don't worry about spoiling. I don't give a fuck. I'd prefer not to watch it. So tell me whatever you need to tell me.
Okay. So, decided to watch Clerks 3 last night, and, like, during the opening credits, you know, the kind of, like, opening montage scene and stuff like
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's inferred that Rosario Dawson's character is dead.
Okay.
Which at first I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, why? Because I had thought that she was in the movie.
Well, that makes the movie at least 50% unwatchable for me to start off, if Rosario Dawson's not in it. If I'm promised Rosario Dawson, I want to see Rosario fucking Dawson.
100%. So here's the thing. She is in the movie. Because that was my first thought, is like, okay, if they killed her character off, maybe she didn't want to do the movie, maybe she was doing something else.
Right.
She's in the movie. So,
So
the fact that they killed her off is weird. From a just a, you know, that kind of standpoint, I guess they were trying to make Dante even more, like, negative and brooding than he already was. They had to come up with, like, a reason.
Dante is not the star of those movies, by the way. Any of them.
You're going to say Randall is.
Everyone else but Dante is usually the star of those movies. Go on.
So the only thing I knew about Clerks 3 was that the premise, it's, you know, it kind of links to what you were saying about Kevin Smith's dialogue in his movies and this and that. So the premise of Clerks 3 is that Randall has a heart attack.
Yeah.
And after he gets out of the hospital, you know, he realizes he's done nothing with his life and blah, blah, blah. And so he decides to essentially write Clerks. Like, he decides to write a movie about them working at the store.
Right.
So, again, it's
so now
very,
he does so, Kevin. So Kevin Smith does not have enough of himself in movies. He's now got to write a separate character about himself that he, as himself an actor, can interact with.
Essentially. So,
what
so
the
yeah,
fuck,
he gets.
Though? Okay, I'm intrigued.
So,
go on.
That's the thing. So that's the thing. Like, the premise and everything is dumb. Now, I will say, so when they decide to start writing the movie, and they start doing auditions, there are a lot of, like, funny cameos of, like, people who come in and, you know, audition.
Right.
So there's that, like, I don't know, of course, Ben Affleck is one of them, and it's just one of those things where it's like, ha-ha, you know.
Will Ferrell pop up in there at all, by any chance?
He did not, but Fred Armisen's in it. Ralph Garman's
Fred
in it.
You could literally throw a stone in Hollywood and hit a copy of a movie Fred Armisen is in.
Affleck, Armisen, Ralph Garman, The Impractical Jokers.
Who?
So, you know, The Impractical Jokers.
No, before that.
Ralph Garman, he's in, I'm trying to think of what he's in. I'm going to blank on, like, what he's in.
What does he look like? Is he a big, fat Jewish guy?
No, no, no. He's just, like, he looks like a fucking standard, like, game show host type person.
Well, I don't know who he is. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, anyway. So, I'm trying to think of who else is in it. And,
well, it doesn't matter who else is in it. Just trying to tell me the story.
Yeah. All right. So, oh,
so you got a bunch of cameos from some funny cameos, right?
Right. So, they start filming the movie, and again, it's the stupidity of, you know, they're trying to film a movie while, you know, all this other shit is going on and blah, blah, blah.
Wait, and of course, there's another movie involved? There's another movie that these people are, oh my God. They have at least three movies about making a movie.
The plot of the movie is that they're filming a movie.
That's the plot of, like, their last four movies.
Yes, the plot of the movie is that they're filming. Yes.
That was the premise of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. That was the premise of Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. The last fucking movies this guy made are about making a movie. He's so self-referential. I don't know if I can let you get through this shit. The guy is obsessed with himself. He writes everything about himself into all of his movies now. Everything is a self-reference to a Kevin Smith bit.
Well, right. So, which is why I'm kind of, I don't know if intrigued is the right word, but, like, I wonder.
I'm intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued.
Like, I'm kind of amazed that all of these people are still on board with this.
Right.
I guess that's part of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird that, like, Ben Affleck is like, yeah, I'll do a cameo when I'm, you know. I mean, Ben Affleck's still Ben Affleck.
Kevin Smith's, like, universe that includes, like, actors and his podcasts and the couple of reality shows it all falls, like, there is a name for all of that stuff. I forget what the name for all of his business is, but I think it's, like, based on the name of his comic shop or something. It's even the, even the name of his comic shop, I think, is a reference to one of his own jokes. So I don't, the guy is very much in love with everything he's ever done artistically.
Right.
Apparently.
Right. Oh, Danny Trejo's in it. Danny Trejo does a cameo.
I love that dude.
But here's the thing, and I don't know what caused this. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I'm gonna skip the dumbness of, like, the issues they run into while filming the movie because it's objectively absurd. But
yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but at some point,
view
you know,
askew. View
yeah,
Askew.
Yeah.
That's the name of his production company, and they call it the Askewniverse, I believe.
Yes,
all of
yes,
his properties. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go on.
So, at some point, you know, Randall's filming this movie, and he's, you know, mad about something, and he's talking about how he's filming a movie about his life, and Dante's like, you know, Dante gets all pissy and starts fighting with Randall, and he's like, it's my life too, and, you know, and Randall's like, I've done nothing with my life, and Dante's like, well, I had a good life, and, you know, a drunk driver, like, ended that in one day, so apparently that's how Rosario Dawson died.
So what, do you only see her in flashbacks up until this point?
Yeah, like he has like dream sequences about her.
Okay.
And stuff
all right.
like that.
Yeah, that
like
that,
he goes
that was
to the cemetery
for me. Okay.
Right, like he goes to the cemetery and like she pops up and starts talking about all the people she's fucked in heaven. Yes, that is really a scene. So
that's a little funny.
Yeah. So you know, at some point Dante starts going on his rant about how his life sucks because he was happy for like a minute, and then, you know, his wife and kid got killed in a drunk driving incident.
His wife
and
kid? Oh my God.
Yeah. Apparently they had a kid. Which again, I don't know. I think they just wanted to make Dante like more ornery than he already was, I guess. But it was kind of a weird
more
way
miserable.
To
there, miserable.
Right. Yes. So
let's call a spade.
Point,
Dante is a miserable fuck.
Yes. So at this point, towards the end of the movie, you know, he's arguing with Randall and he has a heart attack. Wait, here's the thing though. So he has a heart attack, and now I'm gonna be honest with you.
Okay,
me and my wife were drinking a lot last night, and I'm not making that as an excuse, but I am gonna put that out there.
Okay.
So,
well,
we get to the part
where we
get to the part where Dante has a heart attack, and all of a sudden, they start showing like flashbacks of like the original Clerks, and you know, Dante through the years and cast of characters and this and that.
Yeah. They're all just like scenes of Dante from all three different.
Right.
Shows, I'm sure.
And,
yeah.
Dude, I started crying. I don't know why.
Aww.
I don't know why.
Do you even like Dante as a character?
Not particularly.
No, nobody does. He sucks. Do you see yourself in Dante, bro?
No, I don't think I do.
You're not that miserable,
know.
Bro.
Well, so
I mean, put you outside in the cold during the dead of fucking winter. And I'm sure that you'd be just like Dante.
I might. That's true. But like this, so they're showing these like flashbacks and stuff like that, and then you realize that Dante's dead.
Okay.
So he actually
died. So they just
killed
Dante like halfway through the movie?
I mean, it wasn't halfway through. It's like towards the end.
Oh, okay.
But yes, they kill Dante.
Cool.
But yeah, I
Why
don't know.
Do
like,
do
and
that
I look
the first movie. What the fuck,
well,
man?
See, it's funny. It's funny you mentioned that because there was a scene where they did. There's like a deleted scene from the original Clerks, where at the end of the movie, somebody comes in the door.
Oh, yeah,
Dante's
it was
like
a robber came in and, like, shot Dante
or something,
right?
And Dante's like, sorry, we're closed, and the guy pulls a gun on him and shoots him.
Yeah.
So there actually is that element.
I do remember that, the lore of that. I don't know if that scene existed, if they shot it, or if it was just something that they storyboarded already.
No, I think
they shot it. Oh, wow. Okay.
I think they did, but then I guess they realized, like, once they realized how popular the movie was, they decided, or he decided, okay, I can probably, like, I can parlay this into 30 years of making the same movie 8 times.
Wait, wasn't his girlfriend riding a dead guy's dick in the bathroom?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
So that's essentially the plot of this movie, is that when Randall decides to make a movie about the store, they start talking about all of these things that happened in Clerks 1 and Clerks 2. And they're like, oh, remember when she was fucking that dead guy in the bathroom? We should put that in the movie. And remember when, you know.
So
the
wait
guy
a second. Is,
out...
is Clerks 3 just like a clip show episode of a sitcom?
It's not a clip show, but there is a lot of that.
You know the trope, like, I'm referring to, you know, in sitcoms,
where they
do like a fucking clip show. All right, yeah.
Yeah, which sitcoms don't really do that anymore. I think that was more of like an 80s or 90s thing.
No, they do that some. They like shows like Futurama and Family Guy and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they'll do the clip show, but they'll come out in the beginning. Even The Simpsons, they'll come out at the beginning and say, just so you know, like we're doing a fucking
new episode.
Clip show.
Okay.
Like Rick and Morty did a clip show where it was the whole first 10 minutes of the movie are the episode are them talking about how whack it is or how good it is, arguing about what it's like to have a clip show in a television series, and then they do the clip show.
Nice.
It still exists. Yeah. It's just like the clip shows become self-aware at this point.
Right. So in this instance, it was a lot of like callback to like, oh yeah, we should, you know, the time when, like I said, the time when she fucked the dead guy in the bathroom, we should put that in the movie. And the guy who tries to sell cigarettes, we should put that in the movie. And of course,
these people
end up having cameos at various points in the movie. So it's like, haha, you know, it's like a callback kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, and you know, I got emotional when Dante died. And I looked over, and my wife was also getting teary-eyed, and, like, I don't...
Oh, no, shit, really?
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. Like, it feels like kind of a mindfuck, because...
It feels like y'all motherfuckers needs to talk to some therapist, is what it feels like. Motherfuckers got some repressed-ass emotions that's coming out when... Let me tell you something. On the scale of like nebuches from like one to Woody Allen and like Ted Mosby from fucking How I Met Your Mother is at the top of this fucking scale.
Yes.
Okay. Of
yes,
some of the worst, most annoyingly negative and just pissant characters in history and dumb.
Yes.
Fucking Dante is up there. He's in the top 10 easily. He's just a fucking loser. Like every movie, he's just a loser. Whether it's him not realizing what's right in front of him, or whether it's him just bitching all the time, he's always a negative fuck. He's in like the top 10 of like nerdy idiot fucks up there. Not too far enough from Ted fucking Mosby, by the way, who is the worst character to shape a show around I've ever seen in my life. I can't. The show is unwatchable to me.
So, see, here's the thing. So, yeah, let's because I have thoughts on that show too.
Yeah, we can talk about that too.
I personally loved the show. I agree with you that.
Are you one of them?
He is awful.
Yes.
But I like the show. Having said that, I will argue that series finale is the worst series finale I've ever seen.
Did you watch the series finale of Dexter?
Ooh, you know what? That's up there too. Yeah, good call.
Yeah, because I haven't actually seen it yet. I've been avoiding watching the rest of the first run of Dexter because I know the ending is garbage. And to be honest with you, I've gotten to a point where the show is just a slog. Like, it's after Trinity, it's after Lumen, it's after, I don't know what he's doing at this point.
So Dexter is, what, 8 seasons, right, I believe?
Yeah, something like, what was it? It was like 6 before it got canceled, right? It was like 6, and then they just made like 1 or 2 more seasons.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I think you're right. So there's a point, I don't know what point you're at, so I don't want to like ruin anything, but there's a point in like season, I want to say like 5 or 6, where it just gets, there's a very weird storyline, and then
okay, you know where I am? You've seen the whole thing, right? I'll tell you exactly where I am.
Yeah.
I've just gotten past the season where Deb and Dexter almost fucked. Because that was weird.
Okay, that's
like that was so fucking weird. Yeah, that was weird
to.
As shit. I mean, it was probably some of the most uncomfortable TV I've ever seen, but that did not stop me from masturbating to it at all.
Totally.
In
any
way.
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you.
I mean, I was pants down that whole thing. As soon as they looked at each other, even remotely sexually, my pants were off. I was like, oh, I know where this is going. It never, but just like 90% of my teen Skinamax watching, there's never a payoff.
Yes.
At the end, never ever a payoff.
So yeah, so that's a totally weird storyline, and then yeah, from there it gets kind of dumb.
I'm at the place where it gets really dumb, and it's hard for me to get through it. I barely got through the last season with Dexter and Deb almost fucking. But, like, I don't know, man. I almost feel sometimes like even that storyline is not as weird as some of the other shit they did on that show. So who the fuck knows?
Right. But, yeah, the end of
that may be the weird, that may be the weirdest thing
good.
They've done, though. That might be the weirdest thing they've done. Although it would be weird if they were actually brother and sister, like blood related. Then it'd be even weirder.
Right.
And
right.
then you'd have Game of Thrones set in Miami.
Yes. So yeah, I would say the end of Dexter is pretty bad, and the end of How I Met Your Mother.
Okay, so let me can I just tell you what I don't like about How I Met Your Mother, and you can you can maybe tell me if I'm off base or whatever. I have the same problem with How I Met Your Mother as I have with what's the nerd one?
Big Bang Theory?
The Big Bang Theory. So both of those shows are very, very obviously pandering to a certain audience. The one with the nerds obviously is pandering to, you know, nerds, and the fucking How I Met Your Mother is pandering to like 20, 30 somethings who have like social lives, you know? I mean, that's the target. That's the, and it's kind of aimed a little bit towards Generation X, because there's a lot of shit in there for that.
Yeah.
But I always found that the humor, I liked Big Bang Theory at first, but then I started to realize what it was. And it's literally just people repeating references to things throughout the whole episode that are like nerd catches. It's like bait. It's like a nerd trap. And How I Met Your Mother to me is the same kind of trap, but for like social life people and shit. Because I look at that show and it seems like they're just literally looking on the internet for what the youths are doing at this point.
Right.
And creating all these scenarios. And then you got fucking, I love fucking Doogie Howser. Love that dude. Neil Patrick Harris.
Same
fucking
here.
Love that dude.
Yeah.
Really do. I think he's brilliant. He's brilliant on that show. I don't care if he's funny. I don't like characters like his character. I don't like men that exhibit toxic traits. I really, honest to God, man, like that's something that I stay the fuck away from on TV, unless, and I know Barney gets his comeuppances and shit. I just don't care. I don't think Jason Segel is a good actor at all. I think he's probably one of the worst working actors out there. And I like him. I think he can be really funny. And in interviews, he's really funny and shit. But I just think, like, as an actor, he's just, like, flat. And I don't believe anything that he tries to sell me. I just don't. But I do like him. Like, I do enjoy, like, seeing him on screen. He's in some movies that I really like. What's the one with Paul Rudd that he did? Did you see that one?
Oh, I Love You, Man.
I Love You, Man? Yeah.
Yeah.
You saw that?
Yeah, I like that. I like that movie, yeah.
Yeah, I like that thing. Yeah. I liked him in that. He was all right in that. But, like, I don't, you know, Allison Hannigan, I am very attracted to. But for some reason, I don't like her character on that show. And nothing can save any of the moments that the guy who plays Ted Mosby has screen time on. I hate his hair. I hate his stupid fucking face. I hate his big knobby fucking head. I can't stand looking at that motherfucker. He probably exhibits every negative trait in myself that I've tried to eliminate over the years. No,
yeah,
I'm not kidding.
I
can't look at this fucking guy and not want to reach through the screen and strangle him. Everything he does is so fucking dumb. So fucking stupid. Every decision he makes with a woman is fucking dumb, dude.
I will not disagree.
Right?
But like you said, I mean, I think most decisions I've made in my life with women are dumb. So I you know.
Yeah, but you learn, well, eventually you learn.
I mean, eventually,
that guy doesn't
learn
some shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to, dude, you know, don't even, Michael, don't even put yourself in any category near that fucking character. And that, let me tell you something about that fucking guy. Let me tell you, he plays that character so fucking well that I can't watch him in anything else. Even when he's good, he's in this show Hunters with Al Pacino, and he's supposed to be like this pretty boy Jew guy. And he's not bad, but I can't look. I can't watch him. All I see is that fucking Ted Mosby. Even his name is awful. If you said, "Oh, I want you to meet my friend Ted Mosby," sight unseen. No, I'm sorry. No, thank you. Mosby, you said no. Ted Mosby, no. No, thank you. No, sir. That is about the funniest thing that you could say to me, sir.
I can't argue with any of your points. I really can't. Oh my god! But having said that, I watched How I Met Your Mother for 9 seasons or however long it was.
I know.
But yeah. So getting back to the existential crisis, as my wife labeled it last night, I don't know like what hit us. Like it was some combination of like. I don't know if it's like our mortality or just like, I don't know. There was something that like we were not expecting to happen during the viewing of Clerks 3 that apparently hit us in the feels, and it's like weird. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
It's not that weird, man. It's okay. So like, first off, it wasn't presented in a comedic way. Which is kind of what you thought maybe would happen, because technically the Clerks movies are supposed to be comedies. So I wouldn't begrudge you if you went into it thinking that it was
large, though.
Right.
Like there are a couple of
just like five really tragic things in between all. The mom dies, the kid dies, Randall gets a heart attack, fucking Dante gets a heart attack and dies. That's like at least 4 awful things in between all this jolly joy. But they're not just like run-of-the-mill, like, oh, that sucks shit. Like, they're literally killing characters in front of you as the movie progresses.
Right.
And then they end with Dante being dead?
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't, like I said, it doesn't sound like much of a comedy to me overall.
Well, I mean, obviously, like what we talked about, there's the elements of, you know, the bits that we all know and the cameos and stuff that.
But my question to you is, going into that movie, did you expect there to be heavy drops like that?
No. Well, I did know that Randall has a heart attack in the beginning and then decides that he wants to make a movie. To your question, no, I was not aware of any of the other stuff that was going to happen.
Right. So you go into it. I'm trying to advocate for you here. Because you go into this movie, right? Because you two motherfuckers started bawling over the death of like Ted Mosby Jr., bro. So we got to have a serious discussion right now. All right. All right. Me and you, bud. All right. So, this guy, like I said, is, you know, I mean, I don't think in history, if I told you that Dante, whatever his fucking name is, was a dead character in every universe everywhere, I don't think on a regular basis, like if you hadn't seen it and I just brought it up to you today, I don't think you would react like that.
Probably not.
If I got on this show with you today and the first thing I said to you was, hey, man, I saw Clerks 3 last night and Dante buys it at the end of it. They fucking kill him off. You're not breaking down. And you're probably not
true,
even going to turn to your wife and say, hey, honey, do you remember Dante from the Clerks movies? His character is dead now.
That is true.
That was not going to set you off. That was not going to set you off. So,
true.
My question to you is, have you and Erica have had some kind of losses over the last few years, you know, which I won't bring up exactly what, but and you guys have also weathered fucking COVID, being on top of each other, and you're still together. I mean, you guys have been through a lot of testing shit
in
your relationship.
I guess, I think on some level there's that because, I mean, we've been having conversations, obviously,
about,
you
don't have to talk
about
this on air either
if you don't
want to. I'm literally just trying to be your friend.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Right. We've had conversations about family members that aren't doing too well and this and that. So, yeah, there's definitely some shit going on.
I mean, but my question to you guys is, like, how do you deal with the grief from shit like that? Like, how much did you cry for your mom? Like, was that something that it still grips you?
So it's weird. Like, I don't have, I mean.
Do you cry? When you grieve, do you cry?
Initially, yes.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I don't remember the last time I cried about my mother. I mean, I'm sure obviously it happened a lot, but like,
well, sometimes like the point I was trying to make is sometimes you cry about things that are not what you should be crying about, but it brings it out because it's something that just hits the
right
tone.
Yeah.
So go on, finish what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the thing though, is like, I don't, I feel like a horrible person saying this, but like, I don't,
no, I'm just
sit there every. I don't sit here every day and be like, "Oh my God, I miss my mother." Like, it's like in the back of my head, but like, it's not something. Not something that I am forced to confront.
So, like,
very often,
right,
I guess.
If going about your regular day, day to day, how often would you say you think about your mom? And if, just be honest, there's no judgment.
I don't know. I don't know if there's an answer for that. I don't know if it's like, you know, a couple times a week, a couple times a month. Like, obviously there are things that remind me of her, but like, it's not.
But you never just like walking around and you just get like hit with a sense of loss, like in your stomach and heart. That ever happen?
Yeah, it does.
Not really.
But I would say, and again, like, I don't know if there's a right answer or a wrong answer to this, but I thought it would happen. I'm saying I thought it would happen more often than it does.
Sometimes it can't, dude. Like I'm saying to you, sometimes other things, dude. I swear to God, I am the biggest. I'm probably the toughest friend you have, but I'm also probably the pussiest friend you have. Just when it comes to, not when it comes to confrontation, but I cry at fucking everything, bro. I cry at movies. I cry at fucking commercials. I was in Disney World, and I'm sitting in a fucking stupid, like, hot tent with, like, 80 other fucking people watching this stupid Disney commercial on the screen, and I just started fucking bawling.
Yeah.
Like, I stopped myself because I was in public, and I'm a man, and I have to keep appearances, but
Right.
Like it touched me so deep. I was like, what the fuck? What am I doing standing here in Disney World weeping onto my man boobs? What am I doing?
Yeah, I hear you.
But sometimes it just comes out, man, and that's kind of where I was headed with what I was saying is that there may be things you just haven't dealt with that are getting knocked out of you. But I think
it could be that. I also think sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
I was gonna say, I also think part of it is like, you know, aside from our actual relationship between me and my wife, like we have a lot of uncertainty in the near future. And so I think that whole backdrop of like, you know, you're in your late 40s and then you kind of realize like, oh shit, this is not like the life I imagined for myself. Like, I think that, like, very much hit me. I don't want to speak for her, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that kind of realization and, like, oh, shit, now it's too late. He's dead. Like, I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was being like, oh, shit, like, I'm, you know, I mean, we're 45. And I know
right.
I don't want to speak for you, but, you know, I'm happy in my relationship, but like other than that, like this isn't how I, you know, wanted things to go or thought things would go. You know, I don't want to work at a job I hate and, you know, not be able to afford a house or not be able to, you know, go on trips and shit. Like it's just kind of
yeah.
And I don't know what the
I mean, you know, I look, you know, I'm telling this to you because you already know this. And I'm just saying it for lip service, is that you're allowed to cry about shit like that, you know? I mean, as a man, you know, maybe don't do it in public, but, like, you know, I
don't do it. Don't do it, like, in the aisle of BJ's.
Yeah, yeah. Don't do it in the aisle of the last Blockbuster in the world while you're fucking, while you're renting fucking what's that bitch's, what's that stupid Julia Roberts movie with the fucking, what was that, the hooker one, the Julia Roberts hooker movie?
Pretty Woman.
Right, while you're crying in the aisle of a fucking, the last Blockbuster in the world renting Pretty Woman for the 70th time. No, that's not how men are supposed to grieve. But if you're like me, you get in the shower and you just turn the shower up like high and put your music high and just sob in a fetal position until you feel like you're ready to go.
I might need to try that. Because, yeah, obviously there's something
you got to do all that, Nick, obviously. You know,
you're
going to grieve how you grieve. But, you know, it does sound like that. You guys need some self-care, you know, both of you guys. You've been running it hard for a few years, and you're going to be running it hard for another, it sounds like, because you have no fucking idea where you're going.
Yeah, I know. The next, like, 6 months, well, I was going to say 6 months, like four months, I just have no idea where the fuck we're going to be working. I have no idea where the fuck we're going to be living. Like, it's kind of crazy.
So
I think that's part of it too. It's like we're both like, you know we need to like look for new jobs and this and that, but like neither one of us kind of like want to. Like we're both kind of like
right.
We're both kind of in this place where we're just like, fuck, man, we don't want to like, you know, start over and do all this other shit again and look for apartments and look for jobs. Like it's just fucking, you know, when can we just, you know, chill and just be.
Well, you're at the age where you want to make sure you're in a place for a few years, but not just like one or two years. But,
exactly.
You need to put some. You guys need to put some roots down, and you're not. You haven't been able to do that yet.
Yeah.
You know. And so what is it that you're waiting? Because you, from what I understand, you can pretty much do your job remotely from anywhere. But where? what is she waiting on? What does she have to hear in order to figure?
Well,
she just doesn't know where the next job is going to be.
Right. So she's, her contract runs out in May. And after that, I mean, you know, it's kind of,
is there any chance they could renew her contract?
I mean, there's a chance, but like, I would say it's less than 50%. And, you know,
yeah,
we're at the point
okay.
now where like,
yeah.
we need to know, you know what I mean? Like we can't.
Yeah. You need something way more solid than that. Yep.
Right. Because yeah, the thing is that if they renew it, but they're like, oh yeah, here's another year, then that's just, you know, kicking the can down the road. And it's like, all right, is it worth staying here for another year? Or then do we have to just say, fuck it and go somewhere else? But I think like the main issue on her side, I would, the position she's in now, this fellowship, like, I guess we thought it would kind of help her more in her career. Like it would, you know, put her in different
yeah.
positions that would look good on a resume and this and that. And it kind of hasn't.
Oh, maybe expand like, her network a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it hasn't really panned out that way. And so, you know, she's definitely having moments where she's like, oh my God, I fucked up by taking this position because, you know, now 2 years later and we could have just stayed in Connecticut and this and that. And so, I mean, obviously that's not her fault, but like, I know she's kind of feeling that stress upon herself. And
well, I mean, you know, you don't, have you said to her like, honey, this is not your fault?
Yes. Yes, I have.
And I'm sure it fell on deaf ears because I know your wife. And
yeah,
she's going to
yeah.
worry regardless.
Right. But yeah, now it's just like, all right, January, we got to figure shit out. And it's just like, there's like a
well,
sense
I mean,
of
does,
like,
she, does she still want, what kind of stuff does she still want to do, like research, like she had been doing? Because she's really
she
fucking
wants to do
good
like,
at that.
Yeah, she wants to do, like, curatorial stuff, but, like, I don't know, it's weird. Like, the museum industry has a lot of similarities with, like, you know, when I do my sports shit, my fantasy stuff, and, like, gambling stuff and all that. Like, there's a lot of similarities in the sense that, like, these entities basically just want you to give out a bunch of free labor. Like, the amount of, you know, full-time paid positions for museum professionals are very slim pickings, like even around New York. And there's a lot of things that, like, you know, she's finding that all of these people, you know, they interned at this place and they did all of this free labor for years and years. And she didn't get into this field until later on in life, so she's like, okay, I can't give out free labor at like 35 years old. So there's a lot of that kind
yeah.
of shit.
Really?
Yeah, so like a lot of things that, you know, a lot of positions that are out there are, she doesn't feel she's qualified for because she doesn't have certain experience that these people who, you know, interned at a museum for 3 years in their college days or, you know, even like immediately after college while they were living with their parents, like, you know, she didn't get that opportunity. So it's that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I classically for me, I've been able to keep getting jobs because I will put myself out there for jobs that aren't exactly what I can do, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes you get some responses, and occasionally you'll get a job that can teach you a new thing that's willing to
yeah.
to teach you and show you how to learn. But that, I mean, you know, the field I'm talking about is like fucking, you know, accounts payable and receipt billing shit,
right?
You know,
yeah.
doing billing stuff. I
yeah.
mean, she's in the. I think what I'm trying to say is that she shouldn't be scared of the fact that she doesn't have all of the qualifications because.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell her too, because I'm in the same
yeah.
boat as you. Like I, you know, you know, you apply, like, jeez, I think of, like, every office job I've had.
You throw a wide fucking net is my point.
Right.
You throw a wide fucking net.
And, yeah, like you said, like, half the time
you
end up getting hired for something.
You know you're not going to get. You never fucking know. You could make a contact with that person. My stepmother, who is, like, a LinkedIn maverick, this bitch is a whiz with this shit. Like, she's on there. She posts regular updates. She has got a nasty, nasty big network of people. She sent me to, like, 5 different people when I needed certain things, like that networking shit. And I know that there's – I know that you can find a lot of people doing what she – is she on LinkedIn? She needs to get the fuck on LinkedIn if she's not. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, she will make contact with a lot of people in the museum business and shit like that. They're all on LinkedIn. They all like to publish their what PhDs they have and shit like that. There's tons of people looking for other people, you know?
Yep. Well, that's the other thing.
Get
is
her on LinkedIn. If nothing
like,
else, you, if nothing else you listen to me about, get her on LinkedIn.
I will do that.
What were you saying?
I think she – I was going to say there's also a bunch of jobs that, that say they require a PhD and stuff like that, so that's another conversation is, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
and then
I mean,
she gets frustrated, too, because she already has 2 masters, and she's like, A, 2 masters should be enough to get a job, and B, she's also, you know, 100 grand in debt because of these 2 masters. So now it's like now it's like they moved the goalposts. Like, okay, you have 2 masters, but now you need the PhD. So it's like, all right, if I get the PhD, then A, that's going to put us in more debt, and then B, what's the next thing going to be? Like, you're going to get the – she's going to get the PhD, and they're going to say, oh, actually, we need –
does she have to – I don't know what the PhD requirements are for her field, but I know most PhD requirements require you to publish an essay or a book or something like that.
Well, that's something that she's kind of like dreading too because – but again, it kind of goes to the free labor thing. Like she can probably publish things, but
– right.
It's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, so she's going to put in, you know, let's say a week or a month to, you know, to write something or try to have it published, and then she's going to get it published, and then is anybody going to notice and take note of that, or are they just going to say, all right, you know, that's cool, and then not help her out? So, I mean, she and I have – this is a negative trait that we both have, is that, like
– yeah.
If we knew that putting the extra work was going to pay off, we would do it. But we both have this, like, fear of, like, busting our asses for something and then nobody notices and it doesn't pan out. And then we're like, oh, we just wasted all our fucking time. And that's something we
doesn't
both.
Doesn't that happen to you all the time? That happens to me all the time.
Shoot ourselves in the foot. Yeah, yeah, it does.
It happens to me all the time, but you, I mean, not only should you be inured to that by now, but even if you're not, that's it's specifically only a risk that you really take when you're doing something like job hunting, because to me, job hunting is the biggest unpaid fucking job in the entire fucking world. If you put all of the hours that people across the world have put into job hunting. And like, it's almost, to me, it's almost as bad as sitting in traffic. It's just time that doesn't, that could be spent so much fucking better elsewhere. You know,
God,
all of these, what drives me the craziest, and because everything, as you know, everything is online now, even after COVID, I'm still doing virtual interviews. Like, there are people that still aren't ready to come out of their bubble yet, COVID-wise. Mm-hmm. You know, my therapist, my fucking psychiatrist is a video call. You know, I haven't sat down with a person, and that kind of bums me out because I like interacting with people in person. It's a thing I like to do, you know?
Yeah.
It bums me out to have to sit behind a fucking computer screen. But – like, everybody is – where the fuck was I going with that? We was talking about
– it's about the job hunting online and shit like
that. The work that you put into finding a job is always thankless.
Yes.
It's always going to be thankless. It is a perpetual waste of time that we haven't figured out at a curb yet. And what drives me the fucking craziest, tell me you've seen tests like this. Please tell me you've seen tests like this. It's a fucking test that the employer makes you go through. That half of it is like honesty questions. The other half of it doesn't like tries to pinpoint your personality. And those tests are the worst because it'll ask you how you respond to a certain stimuli, and you'll have to answer a narrow field between their two answers. And sometimes I'll feel one of those ways or both of those ways or none of those ways. Like they don't give you any room to feel like a human. They say,
since it's not in person, it's so like ambiguous because I actually went on an interview like a month ago and they were asking
me about what I'm talking about with the morality test that they give you.
So what I'm saying is, in this interview I went on, they were asking me about like my managerial style and like how I would handle like a certain situation. And like I started to go into my answer and then the guy kind of stopped me and was like, okay, that makes sense. But like, what if like these were the circumstances? And what you're saying is when you do these interviews online, there's no like follow-up or room to like explain your rationale or how you would react. Because like you said, there's only two or three answers.
Right.
Yeah.
Because most of those answers for me wouldn't be what they provide. It would be something much more nuanced that they don't give
you, which
is the correct answer, which is the very correct answer. But they'll ask you, they'll say something to you like, you know, a customer comes up to you and throws a coffee in your face. Do you A, punch them in the face, B, calmly say thank you, or what? Just like they box you in to like two. It's like and you have to like pick a slider that goes between these two things. And I'm like, you know, whatever the answer is, it's not that. It's not the questions. It's not what you provided.
The answers
and
are,
I would explain
yeah, the answers
that
are
to
either
you.
You're like you're a doormat or you're a dictator. Like there's no in between.
Right. No, it's like would you feel bad about yourself afterwards or would you take that out on your fellow employee? Just like the dumbest fucking morality questions that just don't capture who you are, because the real life answers to all of those questions are far more nuanced. Those are the things that make me absolutely batshit. They're time consuming, they're senseless, and you always get the sense when you're going through those tests that there's an answer they want you to pick, but none of them make sense.
Yes, definitely.
Right?
Yep.
You get that sense, right? That there is a correct answer in there somewhere.
In their mind, yeah.
And your job now is to try to guess what they want, what they think, what their right answer is. It's not what you feel, because that doesn't get you jobs.
Right, yeah.
You don't walk into a job and say, I really don't like our current president. And they're like, you're hired.
Right.
You know, they don't care about your fucking opinions. It's not about that.
No, they do not. So, yeah, I'm with you. Because, like I said, like, we're both kind of going through this thing now where we're looking for stuff. And it's just like, it is. It's fucking draining and it's time consuming and it's. Yeah, it's not fun, as you know. And that's my issue, too.
They,
like, right now, like right now, like, I can't stand my job. But, like, there are perks. Like you said, I can work from home. I do make a decent amount of money, which that's the other issue. But I'm looking online at these jobs, and they're all paying, like, fucking, you know, $20 an hour, and I'm like, all right, I mean, I can live on $20 an hour, but it's not what I'm making now. And then it's like, okay, what kind of a job
are you making now, if you don't mind saying? What are you making?
I mean, it's like 65.
65?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I know.
You can't go down to 20 an hour, Mick. That's not possible for you.
That's my problem.
You are worth that and more. Let's be honest. You run it. I guarantee you, because I know who you are, I guarantee you that there are about 1,000 things that you do that could probably be put on to someone else and maybe should be put on to someone else. But as I've known you your whole life, you are a guy who takes so much responsibility and never gets the credit for it. Ever, 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 ever.
I would say that's pretty accurate in this case.
Yes. And we are alike in that way, because I want things to work smoothly.
And honestly, that is part of the reason why I make what I make, is that I think – I will say that is I think they do realize that, like, I
– Well, the fact that you're paying
I take away some of their headaches.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say that salary is fairly appreciative, at least – based on all of the salaries that I've ever had in my life. And, you know, it's definitely pretty good. But you're very good at it, but you don't like it anymore.
Right.
Does that sound like every job that you've had, basically? Is that kind of how every job has ended?
So here's the thing. So I, as you know, and we've had this conversation before, like, because we both are similar in a lot of ways. Like, we put up with a lot of shit, and we eat a lot of shit, and we take a lot of shit.
Yeah.
The issue for me comes when, like, I feel like I'm either boxed in to a scenario, or I feel, like, slighted somehow. Like, when I worked for Pepsi, I interned for Pepsi for, like, I shouldn't say interned. I temped at Pepsi for, Jesus, probably, like, 4 or 5 years. And
I remember.
And it was a
– You were going up to purchase. You were working at a purchase, right?
No, Valhalla, actually. But, yeah, same area. But, you know, it was a mindless job. Like, it was – so monotonous and dumb, and just, you know, as long as you showed up and didn't set the place on fire.
What,
like,
exactly was the position? Refresh my memory. What were you doing?
It was like, so I was a volume analyst, but I mean, when
so
I tell you that, like, there were days where I did like an hour or two worth of work, and nobody complained, nobody cared, like, it was fine. And it didn't pay a lot. I think it paid $15 an hour, but, you know, I was like, all right, whatever. This is okay. And I was there for 4 years. The reason why I decided to leave was because there was one time when a full-time position came up, which was rare. Like, they usually either hired people outside the organization or, you know, they promoted people. So in this case, there was a new position being created, and it was, like, sort of in my department, and I was like, okay, and my boss told me to apply for it, and his manager was going to oversee the hiring and this and that. Yeah. And so I was, like, all into, like, okay, I'm going to get this job and work for Pepsi, and, like, this is what I'm going to do with my life, and, you know, that sort of thing. And I went on 3 interviews with 3 people who I all knew. Like I said, one was my boss's boss, one was my other supervisor's boss. Like, these are all people that I had interacted with, and, you know, they were aware of what I, you know, brought to the table and this and that.
Right.
I went on three interviews. And then at the end, I didn't get the job. And the lady who was in charge of the interviewing process specifically told me after the fact, like after the three interviews, well, we would have hired you, but you don't have a college degree, so we couldn't.
Are you fucking serious?
Yes.
Why did you get gassed? Why did they gas you up to do that shit then? What the fuck?
I don't know. Exactly. And so that was the point where I'm like,
for me, bro. That's some
kind of
shit.
And that was the point where I was like, all right, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, fuck them. Yep. Yep.
And especially considering, and this is one of those just, I don't know if it's, you know, bad luck or bad timing, but she herself did not have a college degree. And neither did one of the other people who interviewed me. But, like, they had been kind of, like, grandfathered in, for lack of a better term, where, you know, they were hired in, like, the 80s based on,
you
know,
merit.
Did you say that
to them? Did you say any of that to them?
I mean, I did not say that to any of them. Well, because I didn't know. It was like, after the fact where I had these conversations with, like, people I knew there. So,
oh, yeah, okay.
But, yeah, you know, these people were hired in, like,
the 80s. You probably learned this lesson the hard way. I've learned that lesson the hard way too, is especially if they're trying to, like, get rid of you, like, say what you got to say. Like, you don't hold back at that point. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
If
no,
you
know
you're going, or they're giving you, like, you tell them exactly what the fuck was up. You tell them what the problem was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they want to hear it or not, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Go on.
Oh, I know. But, yeah, so like I said, these people are hired in, like, you know, the early 80s when it was just like, oh, you know, you want to work full-time, you get a job, and then, like, there wasn't this, like, requirement of you need this degree or you need that degree or you need a degree, period. So it was a lot of that kind of shit where
– how does your experience not count as a fucking you know what? This could be a whole separate discussion.
Yeah,
could be a whole separate discussion.
I've been having this argument with people for 20 years because I – do not have a degree, and no job I've ever had has been, like, out of my depth. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't know. Which is why it's crazy to me that, like I said, my wife has two masters and there's jobs that are like, nope, not qualified. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it's crazy.
Yep. And it's funny too, because I tell people all the time, like, degrees don't make you smart. They make you knowledgeable. They make you knowledgeable. They make you wiser, perhaps. But they do not. Intelligence doesn't come from books or a piece of paper. That's something totally different.
Well, to me, I think part of the thing with the degree is like, okay, the degree shows that you can, you know, set a goal.
You're very hard worker.
It, that sort of thing.
Right.
Right. But so does work experience. You know what I mean? Like if I'm working at a place for 6 years, doesn't that also show commitment to, you know, getting tasks done and this and that? So yeah,
especially,
I think it's kind
especially,
of
especially. Especially if you can chart your own progress in that particular job. You can say,
mm-hmm.
look, I worked my way up from, I was a temp. I had a job,
right.
I was a temp. They hired me on, and I got promoted several times while I was with the company.
Yep.
You know,
yeah,
I
no,
mean,
I
that's
know.
It. You,
I, that's insane.
You
yeah.
put that on your resume, and you can chart within a company. That should be enough.
Right. Well, even the job I have now, like, I didn't get hired to do this job. Like, when I got hired, it was, like, as an accounting assistant. And I was basically, like, running daily reports of, you know, gas sales and stupid shit like that. And, you know, eventually you work your way up. Yeah, exactly. Like you said, like, you start to exhibit certain traits and characteristics that they look upon. And they're like, okay, yeah, let's put more on his plate, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I know. I mean, I've left jobs because they tacked on, wait, this is this is so dreary too. I don't want to go over our shitty job histories, but because we do have other things to talk about. But like, I've had plenty of jobs where they just kept tacking shit on me, and after a while, I realized like, how am I the only one that's not getting paid for all this extra shit? Mm-hmm. Like, why is it that I'm getting all of this extra shit, but I'm not making? The last job I had, man, the last, before the Amazon job, the dive job, I found out this guy that I'd supervised on countless occasions. I was supposed to be his supervisor. He was supposed to be my subordinate. I've supervised him on jobs from start to finish. Like,
yep.
He was making the same amount as me, making the same amount of money as me, which didn't make any sense to me. You know, I don't care if I have the title of supervisor or not. You've made me supervise this guy. I've supervised other employees. I've been the supervisor on the site. You're not paying me for that? You make this fucking unreliable scumbag pay the same amount of money as me? And these guys have known me for 20 years, you know. That's why I walked away from that job.
Yeah.
That was no more. No. Couldn't do that anymore. You know, this was a job they started this company with me as their only employee. And I stuck by them. They put me in fucking death traps, like cars that were literally falling apart on the road and shit like that. They put me in all these dangerous fucking situations. They put the money into the project. I put my life into it. I moved up here to be in it, to be in the job. You know, I gave up pretty much everything I had. I had to get a car that could fit equipment in it. You know, like I rearranged my entire life for this job. And that never counted because I didn't put up any of the money initially. So, you know, I never asked for a piece of that either. I was told when we first started that I would get equity in the company. And I did it for 5 years, 5 years with none of that. No raise, 5 years with no raise. In fact, I took a voluntary pay cut that I suggested from them to keep them afloat in the first couple of years. And then my rate stayed the same for the next 4 years that I worked on.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah. It's one of those things, you know. I take on a lot, and I'm not appreciated for it. And when I start wanting to be appreciated for it is when they either fucking give me what I want or I walk away.
Right. Yeah.
So you hate what you're doing.
Yes. And I also have not gotten a raise in 5 years, for the record.
Oh. Yeah, that might be a problem. I mean, the company should look out and give you a raise every year, always.
Well, that's the thing. So the money thing is frustrated enough. It's frustrating enough, but like, you know, the last like there was definitely a drop post COVID, and like I understand that.
A business drop.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with your pay?
Well, there is the sentiment that, like the fact that they keep people employed is, like, a concession.
Right. I know. My last job was like that, too. Like, we could feel like we're lucky to be employed at all, right?
Right.
That's the sentiment.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, they would, like, 1 year.
That's not on you. That's such. Bro, that's such fucking dog shit.
Oh, I know.
I hate them. Why are you putting your company's handling management on me, the employee, who's literally just scraping up your fucking messes one after the other? How is it my responsibility you to pay your bills, which include paying me what I'm worth?
Dude,
right?
Am I wrong? No, you're not wrong. There are, it's so mismanaged. There are more owners of the company than there are employees at this point.
Your story is not unique. I mean, it's particulars,
right.
Maybe, okay?
Right.
But there are tons of companies running on things like this as well. Like, huge,
yep.
huge mismanagement. The last company I worked
yes.
for, same thing. They were giving me shit. Oh, man, that's a whole thing, too. I'll go into that very briefly, then I'll let you finish, and then we'll move on to something else. They had made it very clear. Well, one, the owner made it very clear that he didn't want me taking hours off of work. If I wanted to take hours off work, I had to take a whole day off work, which doesn't make any sense mm. because now you're losing a whole day of people. And he didn't have enough staff to make up for any of that. So if I had to be out, he didn't
yep.
have enough staff to replace me for the day. So that means
right.
the whole day of work has – and yet I'm not a supervisor somehow, even though I'm essential to the work. I mean, that's, whatever. Besides that,
yeah.
besides that. So what they did, and that was that particular policy that he made was told to me the night before by his partner that I was supposed to take an hour off the next day to go to a doctor's appointment, because one of the stipulations that I had told them in coming back to them was that I need to go to doctor appointments. I have like eight
right.
doctors that I have to see now. I have
yep.
a fucking cardiologist. I have a neurologist. I have a fucking gastroenterologist. I have a psychiatrist. I have a GP that I have to see. I'm supposed to be seeing a – I now have to see a fucking – what is it? An orthopedist, I guess, because
okay.
my hands have arthritis in them now. I got fucking arthritis
yep.
fans now.
Yep.
So I had to go to doctors, and I told them. So they decided you're not taking hours off anymore. You have to take a whole day and use whole days. Fine, whatever. Then they tell me I can't take days because they're going to lose an hour. They're going to lose a day of work. And I'm like, get more staff.
Right.
Get more staff. And then they want me to be grateful that I'm still employed. Well, we don't have
mm-hmm.
this. Like, that's not your management.
That's not,
is
that's not
my
problem. Yeah, exactly.
Why
oh, yeah.
this company is not succeeding is not my problem. I'm doing my job. And you want me to feel lucky that you're employing me?
Yeah.
No, you're not. I'm not lucky. You're lucky that I'm here.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah.
I feel your pain, brother.
I sympathize with that. Yep, same here.
But there's a lot of that going around, and there's a lot of people walking away from those situations. There's people – I know so many people that would rather just be fucking unemployed and sucking dick rather than putting up with that kind of bullshit anymore. And that
I mean,
person
that's
is
kind
me.
Of, that's kind of where I'm at, but that's where
– right.
That's where it is tricky, though, to navigate with the money, like we were just talking about. Like,
right.
I would 100% be happier working some mindless 9-to-5, making, you know, $18, $20 an hour. But,
yeah,
you know, I have other things to think about. I have a wife. We want to get
yes,
a house. We want to have kids, this and that. So, like,
yep.
I don't know.
How can you have kids from the butt?
So I think to complete this circle, I think that was probably part of my emotions from last night watching this, like, you know, guy, this fictional
it
character.
It sounds like you
like,
got a lot of shit pent up inside you that you're not
yeah,
releasing either
so.
Through coitus or you know, masturbation or whatever size objects you've managed to work your way up to inside your baloney pony.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that.
It's a lot of you know, not to minimize your strife or pain or whatever, but a lot of people are going through shit. It's been a real emotional few years. It's still being
yeah.
an emotional fucking couple of years because a lot of people, which you are very familiar with, have lost friends and family to dark, stupid, fucking idiotic beliefs and thoughts and shit. And that kind of segues into the whole. I don't know who else. There was another person that had a tragic thing happen to them. They may have passed away, and somebody blamed it on the vaccine, just like somebody blamed Damar Hamlin's shit on vaccine.
Right.
And
I don't know
how much we've talked about the anti-vax shit on this show. I feel like we may have touched upon it before, but I think you and I are of the same mind that basically people who believe that vaccines cause autism or that vaccines are the devil or vaccines are a government plot to control your mind with chemicals or give you retardation or I don't know. I don't know, honestly, what these fucking flying morons are afraid of. But, like you and I have privately discussed, there are very few things that you can look at in a black and white way and say, this is where this happened and this event happened and then this all happened as a direct cause of it. And what I'm talking about is the fact that when you look at what life was like before vaccines, with the advent of the vaccines, population fucking exploded because we weren't dying from preventable, vaccinatable fucking diseases anymore.
Yeah.
We stopped dying, and people don't believe this empirical data.
I know. It's insane. Like, you look at, like, you know, mortality rates and life expectancy and this and that, and you can very clearly see.
Very clearly see that the mortality rates after the advent of vaccines fucking dropped.
Right.
Dropped.
Like, dramatically. Yeah.
Dramatically. And they continue to drop as we spread vaccine technology worldwide.
Yes.
Because there are still unfortunate – this is probably the part of the anti-vax movement that irritates me so much and actually genuinely hurts my heart. Genuinely hurts my heart is that there are people all over the world who would literally kill to have our vaccines, to have our American life. To sit and be fat and order food to put in our faces while we play video games and jerk each other off. There are people who would kill just to not have polio or measles and shit like that. Like, and there's a reason that we inoculate our soldiers when we send them across the fucking oceans to go into foreign places. Why? Why do we do that?
Because there's a whole lot of shit they can catch in these places.
Right. And with vaccines, they won't be catching that shit.
Right.
And they won't be dying
is the herpes
shit.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, they'll still get the clap probably, but you know, as far as
I mean, we can't inoculate their penises to stop it from catching fucking, you know, genital warts and shit.
Yep.
Can't do that.
But the rest of the stuff that is preventable, like you said, like, we've got a pretty good handle on that at this point.
It's techniques that have been honed for hundreds of years, if not longer, because there's evidence that vaccines have been around even longer than Louis Pasteur. It's very – there are definitely things that ancient peoples used like a vaccine. They found out that they weren't getting sick when they would do this one thing, but other people would. I mean, it's like the technology has always been primitive, but it's been there, and the chart, human explosion, population, everything from there, right? Right?
Yep.
And then you have – people around the world who don't have all of this. That was the other piece that somebody said was they said that, like, there's no way – they hate vaccines, and there's no way they try the new one, too. Have you talked to anybody that expressed their dislike or hatred for the new one because it's not like the others and it's experimental?
I have heard – I don't think I've heard anybody, like, defiantly say they won't, but I've definitely spoken with people that, you know, that – They got the first, you know, the two shot that we all got back in, you know, 18 months ago or whatever it was at this point. And then
that's as far as
they're going to go. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, have you encountered people who just straight up won't get the vaccine?
Not personally, but like, I know of people like Erica's grandmother, her neighbor won't get the vaccine.
Right.
And so, like, that's been, like, a kind of a point of contention because, you know, her grandmother's, like, 80-something years old, and this other lady is also old, and this other lady has, like, a son who would help her grandmother with groceries and, you know, rake the leaves and this and that. But, like, none of the people in that house will get vaccinated, so...
Yeah,
you know, Erica's grandmother now doesn't
have
these people.
If he's vaccinated, he can still carry shit into the house.
Right, exactly. So yeah, there's that kind of stuff. So, like, I'd say secondhand I've encountered those people, but I don't think I have, like, intimate dealings with these people.
No, I've only actually encountered most of these people online, although...
Yeah,
I did discover a couple of people that I know in real life that were very outspoken about not getting it, and a lot of the excuses I hear is that it's not like the vaccines that we've been using for hundreds of years, and that is such a weak fucking response, because if you say that those hundreds of years of research did not inform the people who made this new vaccine,
exactly,
that those the creators of this vaccine, what do you think they fucking studied in order to come up with
exactly
this? What do you think they fucking looked at, you fucking clowns? What do you think?
I know, that's the shit that drives me nuts.
For
is...
most of their lives, in order to be able to create this vaccine based on that hundreds of years of research.
That's the stuff that drives me nuts, is this mentality of, like, well, I don't trust it because it was too quick.
It's new.
Like they
trust
developed
it because
it's
old. I don't trust it because it's new. It's any excuse. It's any excuse.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
The technology is older than them. It's older than them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's. And I know everybody's afraid of everything. It seems that way, man. This is another reason why it's been such a hard couple of years, at least for me. It's just, like, the level of ignorance that has become commonplace since Trump took office has put serious barriers between me and other people. And I know it's done that for you and your family, and it's done that for me and my family. It's done that for me and friends. I feel like I'm crazy because these people don't see how much damage they're doing to the people around them, including me, when they say things. Like, my brother is gay and has a fucking long-term boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let somebody say something that belittles that in any way. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Nor should you.
But it's okay for these people. They think these things are okay. They say these awful things when you call them on this stuff, Mick, like, why does it matter to you so much? Or, oh, you're just being too sensitive. Or, oh, I've always been able to say this. Oh, we've always been able to call each other faggots and shit like that. Like, yeah, we all used to call each other faggots as kids, you know?
Yep.
And it didn't always mean gay. Most of the time it didn't mean gay. Because if you were being faggy, like, that's not exactly gay. That's being a puss. That's being a little pussy-ass
right.
bitch.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's usually how we say, oh, stop being – like, Louis C.K. has a whole bit. God bless him. I mean, I know he was sort of canceled, but he's just such a fucking funny guy. Like, I got to give him his props with his humor. He's such a fucking funny dude. But he was saying
yeah.
He was saying, like, the difference between fag – It, like he never thought like I just explained, he never saw fag as gay necessarily. It just means like you can be gay and be a fag. Like you can, if somebody's like got a dick in front of them, this is the way he acted it out. And they're like, ooh, I don't know if I should put it in. And you're like, okay, stop being a fag and put the dick in your mouth. You know what I mean? Like that's
right.
That makes sense to say that. You're just,
yep.
You're not being a fag because you're putting a dick in your mouth. You're being a fag because you're being a little puss bitch.
You're whining. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, you're being a little whiny ass little bitch, you know?
Yeah.
You're such a little fag. Complaining and shit
yep.
like that. But even that, like, I don't say that word anymore. I just don't say that
right.
word. You know, I can't imagine what it would do to my brother if I ever said that in front of him or referred
yeah.
to him as that. And that's not a word I've ever wanted to call him, even though I did. You know, I'm sure I called him that as kids. Like, that's something I think about a lot. It's like how many times I actually called him that just because that's what me and my friends were calling each other.
Right.
And what that may have done to him. I think about that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's we all have regrets, but, like, that's not – I'm okay with not saying that word. My brother's feelings are more important to me.
Yeah, totally.
Than any, quote-unquote, freedom of speech.
Right.
I could say faggot. I did. I did.
Yep.
I don't need to.
And then you – yeah, you learned better and you decided not to. Yeah, it's not like – yeah, that's another thing, this whole, like, free speech nonsense about, you know, I should be allowed to say certain things. Well, why would you want to say – things that people would construe as hateful or hurtful? Like, why would you want to do that?
It's funny. Did I tell you I was on somebody's podcast?
No.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, Kate brought me down to one of her clients. He does this podcast. I'll find him. His name is Brian. I'll find him on Instagram and link it. But he did put the episode up.
Okay.
I don't think it did very well, but none of his episodes are like have more than like maybe like 20 likes or so. So I don't he doesn't really have a big audience, which is why I don't really care about it. I was kind of nervous. I didn't really relax until maybe like towards the end of the interview. And
oh really?
That's just like that's me. Like sometimes I need to be around people for a certain amount of time before I feel comfortable enough to open up, and I don't think I had enough time. We didn't hang out beforehand because I actually couldn't get down there fast enough. I drove all the way down to the city from Connecticut. So
oh, damn.
It was a little difficult. But the guy told the host told me a bunch of stories about him getting kicked out of real places like in real life. Like,
okay.
I talked about how I've been kicked off Facebook a bunch of times and you know, and he's been, like, suspended from stuff, too. But he's talking about how he actually gets, like, he gets thrown out of public places because he says inappropriate things to people, and they get very upset, and they ask him to leave. And the way he was framing it was, like, I should be able to say whatever. Come on, it was a harmless joke. I apologize. Like, listen, I didn't mean to make her feel that way. It's usually him saying and making an inappropriate joke towards a woman. And I'm sitting there the whole time, like, smiling, like, and he's bitching about, like, how these people are so uptight, this and that. And I'm like, bro, you said something sexual to a woman you don't know, dude. Like, it wasn't even necessarily in reference to that person either. He just, you know, made, like, a sexual comment about whatever.
Right.
And when he likes to take innocuous things and say, like, nasty things in response to it, which I've done my whole life, so I can recognize, you know, the need, the urge to do that. But I've grown.
Yep.
This guy is like 50-something, and he's not.
Right.
It was absolute, like, it's so funny to me, but I don't, where, why were we even on this? Where do we get, how do we get on this shit? Like 20 minutes left. What else did I want?
We were talking about the anti-vaxxers and their free speech nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. The left is pretty fascist itself when it comes to language. I've been very over language police for a while, but on the same token, there are things you can stop saying. And I do believe that tranny doesn't have to be in my vocabulary anymore. I'm going to stop saying tranny.
Yeah.
It's not a word that is liked by anybody. You know, it's not a big deal to me. I just don't care that much. The word doesn't mean enough to me to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't need to. Hurting people's feelings doesn't appeal to me. I want to see people smile and laugh.
Yeah. I feel you.
You know? So, have you kept up with any of the Andrew Tate shit? Because there's a lot of shit that just dropped on that I want to talk about real quick. Have you seen or heard?
I actually have not. So, yeah, let me know. What am I missing in the last few days?
Yeah, let me catch you up because I actually do want you to – this shit kind of disturbed me. It actually disturbed me.
Okay.
So now the guy is a rapist, okay? He's very much a rapist. He admitted to it. He's got a series – there's a series of voicemails that the girl he raped saved from him, and they're dark. And her story is very dark. And the fact is that
– So – I think I do know what you're talking about because I think my wife mentioned me the other day. But go ahead.
Yeah, she's probably talking about the same thing I am. Basically, her story is fucking harrowing because he basically, like, looked her in the eye and said, he said, I'm trying to figure out if I should rape you. And she's like, what? And then he raped her.
Yeah, that's fucking wild.
And then her story of it, like, is just awful. And then afterwards, he left her these just, like, awful voicemails talking about how she liked it, and it made it better for him that she resisted. The fact that she didn't want it was really hot. Like, you got to listen to this shit just so you can hear it once, but I don't even want to fucking repeat the shit that he was saying.
I know what you mean.
It's evil,
I do feel
bro.
Like...
It's...
Yeah. I know.
It's
I
evil,
do feel like
dude.
I should listen to it just for the knowledge, because I kind of don't want to.
Yes. You should just – I do believe you should just for the knowledge. I'm gonna recommend that. It's
right.
It literally made me feel queasy, and I'm not exaggerating. Like, it's gross, dude. It's really gross. The guy's basically gloating – to this girl on voicemail about how he raped her, and it's just fucking vile, man.
Jesus.
So there's no doubt in my mind this guy is a scumbag sex trafficker and a rapist. That's probably not his first or last rape. You know, the fact that he was able to sit and captivate like 14-year-old males in this country is sad as fuck. It means we're doing something wrong.
Yep. That is, I don't even know. I don't know what his popularity is predicated on or what the underlying issues of that sort of thing. Like you said,
message is. The guy's message is basically that women are to be controlled and we need to take the power back because somehow women have been stealing our power. And the fact is that none of that is true.
Right.
None of that is true. Man. They're not stealing anything. If anything, they're taking shit back that we took from them.
Right. Which is akin to the same kind of commentaries that people talk when it comes to race. Like, black and brown people aren't taking over. They're trying to finally get their fair share that they haven't gotten for hundreds of years. And sadly, there are still way too many people that think it's like, and the same thing with women, like you just said, like there's too many people out there with this narrative of like, women are taking over and minorities are taking over. They're not fucking taking over. They're just fucking asking to be treated equally. Like, that shouldn't be that shouldn't be an argument.
People give up power very reluctantly. It doesn't matter who they are.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yep.
even fucking, you know, when anybody tells me anything positive about Elon Musk, I look at them like they're fucking crazy. Because these people that they idolize have never had any motivation in their entire lives to be good people. They've never had that motivation.
Right.
Honest to God.
Yep.
Across the
board.
No, I know. Even people like Bill Gates, man. The dude like stole shit from people to get ahead. Like, everybody's a fucking criminal and shyster and shit. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And I just
yeah.
What did you just say? Because I lost my train of thought. What was it that you just said?
I'm trying to remember what the last thing I said was. Well, just saying about how, like, when you say, like, Tate's message is essentially that, you know, women are taking over and this and that, like, the people who say that about women or minorities or any marginalized group, these groups are not trying to overtake the straight white male of the world. They're just trying to, you know, find their deserved and rightful place
right.
at
and
the
they,
table. So
but that's
speak.
The thing. They follow these idiots like Trump and Musk and
right.
who whatever else. You know, it was Steve Jobs for a while. I remember that fucking giant circle, Apple circle jerk when that guy was around. Fucking,
yep.
There's at least three movies about Steve Jobs. And all he does and everything is just being a dirty asshole. That's all he does. He was a dirty asshole, okay? The guy was a fucking douchebag, huge douchebag. And we got people following these people who have never had any motivation in their lives to be good people. And I will never be okay with that.
It really is this weird fucking, wouldn't call it even celebrity worship. It's just fucking money worship. Like, these people are, like, somehow beyond reproach that, like, as long as they have money.
As long as, and we love people who have both money and no class. Those people make the biggest batches everywhere. Lots of money, no class. Like, we worship bad behavior in America. That's what we do now.
Yep.
Like I told you, my dad, right? My dad has hated meter maids his whole life. He's argued with meter maids his whole life. He's cursed. I told you this, right?
Yeah.
He's cursed meter maids his whole life. So what does he do in his spare time when he should be, like, I don't know, playing games or having a hobby or doing doing just about fucking anything because he's 75 years old and he's got no fucking time left, and he's watching Parking Wars.
Yep. I know.
He's watching Parker, and it's, like I said to him, I was like, do you, like, I thought you hated these people. Why are you watching them? He's like, oh, because, you know, people give them a hard time. I'm like, okay, dude. Like, it's sad. It's sad to me that we're paying attention. We pay so much attention to people doing bad things. Instead of paying attention to people doing good things, like occasionally you'll see like Dolly Parton memes going around because that's a magnificent fucking woman who cares about fucking everybody, you know?
Yep.
You'll see her standing up and saying some dope-ass shit or giving some fucking dope-ass donation to some shit, you know?
Right.
Occasionally. But that's not what that's not the majority of what goes down those fucking superhighways. It's mostly negative shit. Nick, how do we get out of negative shit?
That is not a question I think we can answer in the remaining time we have on this show, unfortunately.
Well said. Yes, we'll wrap it up there then, unless you got anything else to say about it.
No, I think we can save that for next week.
Good. All right. Let's call that a wrap.
All right.
ADR, Poppy.
Later. Love you.